You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I'm Brian Wilson. Very happy to be joined here by Mary Walter. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Brian. And joining us right now is Maryland Delegate Dan Morheim. He is out of Baltimore County, and he has a very interesting proposal that we actually spoke about last week. Dan Morheim, welcome to Mornings on the Mall. How are you?
Good morning, Brian, Mary. Great to be with you.
We're glad to have you here. So you have a very interesting bill that you're proposing that is not unusual in other places, but it has not really been done here. Vancouver, Canada is actually the prototype for this type of program. It has been studied for over 14 years. This program has been in effect in Vancouver, Canada. And what it is basically providing a safe space for drug users to come and do their drugs. It's safe. It's clean. It's a place for them to do this with clean needles. And you have a physician or a physician's assistant, someone there who can monitor the drug users to make sure they don't overdose, have Narcan available for them. For people like myself and Brian, we look at this and we go, well, wait a minute. Why are my tax dollars paying to help these people break the law? This just doesn't seem like a right thing here. But yet you're a physician. Why is this a good idea?
Well, let me be real clear. I'm not for substance abuse. It's a bad thing. And I'm not for people breaking the law. But we have been trying the same thing in the war on drugs for the last 50 years. And we're hardly in a position to pat ourselves on the back and say, job well done. I mean, sadly, and as an emergency physician, I see the ravages of this. Violence is up. Crime is up. More drug users, certainly more drug overdose deaths. And candidly, this is not a bill I would have put in 5 or 10 years ago for the very reasons that you were outlining. It doesn't involve your tax dollars, by the way, to hardly any degree.
Okay.
You dispel of that one right off the bat.
Well, who's paying for it?
What the data shows, and every so often we've got to change our perspectives when real information comes in, and the data is really clear. This kind of program, Safe Consumption Facilities, targets very hardcore users, people who are using drugs 2 and 3 times a day. They're shooting up in back alleys and bathrooms and hidden locations. They commit a great deal of crime. They're very hard to get into treatment programs, and they spread disease. They leave syringes lying around and create a whole host of other problems. So this is really what we would call harm reduction. It's not that all these people are going to be cured and fixed, because that's just a naive notion, but it's harm reduction. So what the data shows, and the ABLE Foundation just released a big report yesterday written by Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. It's online, and the information is very clear. These programs lead to reduced crime, reduced syringes on the street, a less spread of disease. They make neighborhoods safer, and they move these people who are otherwise isolated and alienated, and largely in part due to their own poor decision making, but we're paying for them anyways through healthcare. It moves them into treatment programs.
All right, so I got to back up. There's a lot of good information there, and I appreciate you but a lot of questions. If taxpayers are not going to pay for this, who is going to pay for it?
Well, first of all, we're all paying for this anyways because we're taking care of these people one way or another.
But you said taxpayers would not carry the bill.
Because here's how the bill would work. A local entity could be a church, a already functioning clinic that does detoxification or provides mental or drug treatment programs, would apply to the Department of Health or their local Department of Health and get approval to start a program. That would be sure that the program meets, rigorous safety standards and training standards. Then it's up to the organization to operate. They could get grant money. technically they could bill insurance for some services because it would also be referring people for addiction treatment, mental health, job training, whatever else is required. So it's tax dollars do not support the program.
Well, if
taxpayer benefits because these people are going to be committing less crime, fewer visits to the emergency room that we all pay for.
Just one word there jumped out at me, grants. Where would the grants come from? Would those be federal grants or government grants?
It could be government grants, but they would go through a process. It could also be private foundations, a lot of these. But in the end, you know, it's like you pay me now or you pay me later, like the oil filter ad. We're paying a lot right now.
Yeah, I get that.
And move these people into programs. Well, look, Brian, the data is clear. All the numbers that you want to see go down, and all the numbers you want to see go up. Now, look, I had a hard time wrapping my head around this, too.
Yep.
I understand it's politically sounds really different, but the overdose death rate in these places is zero. And we have over 1,000 Marylanders and elsewhere around the country, thousands of people dying every year from overdose deaths. So right away, there's that benefit, and that should not be discounted because there's always a rescuer on the scene. You're moving these people from really dangerous behaviors to less dangerous behaviors and hopefully move them eventually
into
sort of normal life.
Isn't it, though, society sort of condoning this bad behavior? And I raise this only because why not take the same amount of money and put it into rehab you're giving them the message, we're okay with your drug use. You can come here and do it.
You're wrong. That is not the message you're getting. That message is definitely, and I began by saying I'm opposed to drug abuse completely. What the message is we're going to try and move you to a better place. But yes, there ought to be more money for rehab. I mean, there's a tendency with the substance abuse issue to say, well, here's a cause. We'll fix the cause. It'll all go away. And here's a solution. Solution will fix all the problems. There are many causes. They've been around for a long time, a lot more than 50 or 100 years. And there's many different solutions. So there's long-term rehab is really essential for some people. For others, it might be abstinence and faith-based. For others, it might be methadone or buprenorphine or Vivitrol or combinations of those things. But for this particular hardcore group that's costing us all a lot of money and wreaking a lot of damage, you're trying to move them from really dangerous behaviors into better ones. And I understand the messaging issue here, but what you're really saying is this is a public health issue that we're going to deal in a public health environment. We've been doing fully law enforcement for a long time, and frankly, you show me any good numbers on that. Not that some people shouldn't be locked up and put away. There are dangerous folks out there and dealers and so on that need, that's why we have a criminal justice system. But for this group, it really works.
Two quick questions. The first question being, what are the negative repercussions for choosing drugs as your lifestyle? We're taking away any kind of negative repercussions. That's number one. But number two, how many people in Vancouver in this 14 years have actually gone on to become clean, get jobs, and become functioning members of society? What is the percentage?
Well, let's see. The first thing is, what was the first question?
The first
asked?
Question yes. is, well, where's the negative implication?
Well, there's plenty of negative
for
making
bad
already.
Choices.
You're trying to take people who, they're already full of negative implications, and this is a terrible lifestyle these people have gotten into or chosen,
right.
or whatever. And you can't discount the personal responsibility element, but they're out there, and frankly, they're also our friends and neighbors and parents and siblings and kids. And, that's what the facts are now. In Vancouver, the ABLE report details it, but a significant number, they have the safe consumption facility on the ground floor and a treatment program on the top floor.
Well,
and they have referred thousands of people and had a very good success rate. Now, this is a chronic disease.
Right.
So you're not going to get cured. Just like I treat people with asthma in the emergency room. It's a chronic disease.
But asthma's not a choice.
And we give diabetics who are overweight diabetes medicine, but we don't say to them, hey, you're responsible for being 20 pounds overweight, lose that weight, or we won't give you your medicine.
Right.
Well, I have to look at this like it's a public health issue for a very difficult group of people.
I hate to jump in here, but we're running out of time, and I really appreciate it.
Right.
Listen, I got to tell you, you've sort of made me open my mind and think about this in a different way.
I had to do that too, believe me. I was not comfortable with this at first, but
I'm not sure I'm there yet, but I certainly look at it in a different way. So thank you so much for joining us, Delegate Dan Morheim. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you, Brian and Mary. Have a good day.